Welcome to church. Welcome, welcome. Grab your Bibles if you would and follow along. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be spending our time today. I want to say a very special welcome to all of you who are tuning in online. So High Ridge family, help me welcome those that are watching from the lazy couch. We're so glad that you could make it. All of our dream team, you guys that are helping it to become possible for us to be able to broadcast online. Thank you so much for serving. You guys are awesome. Happy birthday to my aunt that's watching. Your High Ridge family says happy birthday. Come on. How about that? They said you're 74 years old. No, that's not true. She's gonna kill me. Matthew chapter 6. I wanna start a brand new mini series today. Called First, all about our priorities. This is the time of year where we start thinking about resolutions and things that are most important to us. And so I want to just focus on that word first. Somebody say first. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us that word and he talks about the importance of what is first. What is the priority in your life? What is first and foremost? And here's the issue. I think most of us, if we were to be asked, what's the most important thing in your life? We would have the right answers to say. Some of us would say, man, family is really important to me. Many of us, if we're Christians, would say, of course, God takes first place in our lives. But practically, when we actually think about what it means for him to be first, when we think about putting God first in situations, we kind of get lost in the details. What does that mean? What does it mean to put God first? You know, I believe that this next year is going to be the best year you've ever had or the worst year you've ever had based upon what you put first. First. And so as we're digging into God's word today, I think it's important that we allow God's word to start digging into us and really examine and take an honest look at ourselves of what takes first place. Some of us have said stuff like, hey, my kids are the most important thing in my life. Are they important? Absolutely. Are they in first place? Maybe. My job has to be in first place. And we have seasons where things begin to compete for whatever is first. Only God offers us something completely different when he says, I want you to put me first. And he makes a promise with that that is important for us today. I found that in 2021, I don't hear a lot of talk about New Year's resolutions this year because last year changed a lot of that. Let's be honest, the world has changed. And this year is different than any other year. Most of the time, all the way up to last year, we would talk about the resolution to get healthy, the resolution to stop smoking or to not drink. And in 2021, it's like my resolution is just breathe, man. I'm just trying to breathe. I'm just trying to a deep breath in, deep breath out, just to breathe. What's the most important thing in your life? What is the top priority? What is it really? Christians would say God is really there, but is he really? The Lord gives us a key that lets us know if he's really in first place in our lives. And the key is this, we find out that he's in first place by how we respond to worry. Worry. It lets us know. And for some of us, that hits me hard. It confronts me. Because it lets me know that even though I say God is in first place, even though I declare it, even though I preach about it, what I worry about tells me the truth. So in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about seeking first the kingdom of God. As I was looking this week, I just Googled into to the old Googler, and I said, how do I put God first? Because I want to see how the world responds to that simple question. How do you put God first? Do we really honestly know? And the number one answer on how do I put God first comes from a Huffington Post article that simply says this: to truly put God first, you have to let go of what others think and follow your heart. Man, that sounds really smart. It sounds right. It sounds good. It sounds smart. You have to let go of what people think. And you just have to follow your heart. I can see Napoleon Dynamite in that moment. Just follow your heart. That's what I do. I'm honoring God first by following my heart. The problem is it may sound smart, but nothing could be further from God's truth. God's word is true. And he tells us this in Jeremiah 17. It says, the heart is deceitful above everything else. Your heart will lie to you. And it says, your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah. So if my heart is desperately wicked, then the best thing that I could do in my life is fill it full of cholesterol to kill it out. Come on, somebody. Your heart will lead you astray. Your heart will keep you away from honoring God first. So our world doesn't understand what it is, even if they're saying the right things. We say we honor God, but what we're really doing is following after our heart and trying to put people's opinions behind us. Those may be good things, but they're not God. So Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 something completely different. And you have to understand that when Jesus is speaking now, it has been 400 years from the book of Malachi to Matthew when Jesus begins to preach. 400 years of legends being told about the goodness of God and about God's great and mighty miracles, wonderful things that happened to our grandma's grandma's grandma. But what about us? What about us? 400 years have passed since anyone's heard from the Lord. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ himself is standing on the side of a mountain and beginning to preach and say things that don't sound like the Old Testament. They don't sound like rituals and symbolism and ceremony. It sounds like practical life. Jesus begins to speak to people in language that they can understand. He talks about how they treat each other. He talks about greed. He talks about business. He talks about family. He talks about the attitudes of your heart. And it all culminates in Matthew chapter 6. And I want to show you this right here in verse 31. Jesus says this, so then do not worry. Four words that I wish didn't appear in the Bible. I wish it said something like, you don't have to worry. But it says it as a command. So do not worry. He says, saying, what are we gonna eat? What are we gonna drink? What are we gonna wear? Some of you are like, I did that this morning. If you didn't do it this morning, you're probably gonna do it as soon as this service is over. What are we gonna eat? Where are we gonna go? You know, I just wanna give a nickel's worth of free advice to every man that knows that this conversation is coming. I have found a key in my own marriage on how to get past this simple question. My wife is laughing right here because she knows that this is true. This happened to us. So when we had this conversation of where are we going to eat, instead of going back and forth, I don't know, what do you want? I don't know, what do you want? What do you feel like? Oh, I don't feel like that. Well, why'd you say it? I didn't say it. You were thinking it. I wasn't thinking it. What'd you think? Here's the best thing I can give you. She says, what do you want to eat? And I'll say something like this. You are never going to guess where I'm going to take you. You would never be able to guess. And she'll say, Texas Roadhouse? I'm like, how did you know? How did you know? You're welcome. You're welcome. What are we gonna eat? What are we gonna drink? What are we thinking about? Jesus talks about the worries of this life and he contrasts them with putting him first. There's a couple of great quotes that I found this week, and one is from William Law, and he says this, if you have not chosen the kingdom of God first, it will in the end make no difference what you've chosen instead. At the end of your life, it won't matter if you didn't choose him first, because you will have made no difference. You will have existed. You might have had a few toys. You might have had some people that love you. You might have a great funeral, but you won't have made a difference. At the end of 2021, will it have made a difference with the best of your intentions, with the best of your priorities, if you didn't choose God first? He says, it won't have made a difference. Doesn't matter what it is. It's a great quote from Tozer as well that says, as God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems are solved all at once. What would your life look like if the problems were solved without you working them? But the Lord God himself began to fight your battles for you as you were seeking him first. So in verse 31, Jesus says, don't worry, saying, what are we gonna eat? What are we gonna drink? What shall we wear? I found this to be true, that worry is the enemy of your future, just like shame is the enemy of your past. Many of us deal with shame. We understand that shame is a big deal. It's hard to get past the shame of what we've done, but we don't see that worry is just as big of an enemy. Shame deals with your past. Worry hijacks your future. It sucks out the joy of today. Jesus says, for the pagans run after all these things. What am I gonna eat? What am I gonna drink? What am I gonna wear? He says, they're running after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first, somebody say first, his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. It shows us that the things that the world has to worry about and work for are really God's gift to us. It's a guarantee from the Lord. I will take care of you when you set your heart on seeking me. Notice it's gone from worry, which happens inside of our minds. He says, don't worry about what you're gonna eat. He said, then you say these things. So it's gone from your mind to what you say. And then it says it ends up having the people, they run after all these things. So it's not just a thought. Now it's a word and it becomes an action. You see the thought that becomes more than just a thought. It begins to dominate our lives, worry. And Jesus says the antidote for that is by seeking me first. Seeking me first. He goes on to say, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Is that a mouthful or what? That's good stuff. Each day is gonna have enough trouble of its own. You're like, yeah, and years will have enough trouble of their own too, and sometimes more than enough. So seeking him first is the key to breaking the power of worry. What does it mean to seek? We don't use that word a lot anymore. We say, you know, I'm looking for. If you're uneducated, you may say I'm investigating or I'm actively pursuing if you're educated like that. But to seek, I think that I only use that word when I'm reading the Bible or when I'm playing with my kids. Because my kids, when they were little, they used to love to play hide and seek. And honestly, I loved it too. Because I always wanted to be it so that they would hide. And I'd have like 10 minutes of absolute peace. I don't know where y'all are. Oh, you're hiding so good. Then you finally get up and start looking for them and you see that they always hide in the exact same place. And you see like little feet sticking out from behind the curtain, little toes from behind the door. And you hear a, come find me. You're like, that's not the point of the game. You can't scream out. I wonder how many of us are actively seeking after the Lord or just enjoying some downtime instead. You know, the word seek in the original language, when Jesus is speaking this, he says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. It's the Greek word zeteo, which simply means to fully investigate and to get to the bottom of the matter. To deliberately look for, to fully investigate, to get to the bottom of the matter. So it gives us a brand new understanding of what it means when he's telling us to seek first the kingdom, to deliberately get to the bottom, first and foremost, to actively pursue, intentionally pursue the heart of God and his righteousness. And I begin to think of this as I'm looking at the original language. I realize that when you start getting into God and you're discovering the depths of him, you realize there is no bottom. It's a pursuit. You never get to the end of it. And it consumes you. And Jesus said, that's exactly where I want you. Seek me. Don't worry about the things that everybody else is running around trying to find. Seek me first, and I'm gonna give those things to you. What a powerful word. It began to confront me as I thought, you know, I say things like I seek the Lord, but honestly, do I? I found that I give him whatever time I have left over because time's hard to come by. It's the one thing that I can't get enough. And I can't get it back once it's spent. It's hard when you're busy. So there's three things that I was discovering about my own life that the Holy Spirit was confronting me on. And I hope that if we're honest together today, that you can say, okay, the Lord is kind of speaking this to me as well. If you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. The first thing that I saw as I'm dealing with this is number one, I'll make time for what's important to me. Let's be honest. I'll make time for what is important to me. Because if I don't, I'll end up reacting to the pressure and to people's needs. So think about this. Jesus comes after 400 years of people not hearing from the Lord. And he begins to speak in practical ways that impact people's lives. Not only that, he begins to feed them by the thousands, free meals. And then he does something supernatural. He starts healing people that did not have modern medicine. people that had no hope. Crowds pressed around him because there was the hope of seeing not just the miraculous, but getting something from him. Another scripture says he has a woman that presses through the crowd to just touch the hem of his garment. There's a huge amount of people that have urgent needs, that desperately need a touch from Jesus, that are hoping beyond hope because doctors couldn't give them hope, and Jesus shows up and brings healing. Do you think there's some pressure on Jesus when you're the only one that can do stuff like that? When demons are cast out, when he says, get out, pressure, 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 people's needs, the urgency. You think you have it bad because you've got a couple kids? Actually, I've seen your kids. You do have it bad. I feel sorry for you. We're praying for you. But Luke 5 tells us this about Jesus. It says, but now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He would make time for that which was most important. I found that as the Lord is confronting me in my own weaknesses, that if I don't prioritize what's important, what's urgent will always distract me. Do you have urgent needs? Of course you do. 911, Jesus, I need you now. But according to God's word, when I prioritize what's important first, what is urgent goes to him. Do you see this today? Is this helping somebody? I'll always be distracted by the urgent needs of people, always. There's more than I can ever handle. And 2020 has proven that to each of us, that it's more than what you got to in the tank. You're not gonna be enough. You can't handle it. Urgent, that's a polite word for what 2020 showed us. Urgency, yeah, a lot of urgent. A lot of things to worry about. Actively seeking the Lord, putting him first, is the remedy to our worries. Here's the second thing that I begin to see as I'm digging into God's word. And if you're honest, I think you might be able to see the same thing, is that I'll study what I see as beneficial. I'll study if I know that it benefits me, right? If you know that it's gonna pay off, you'll actually apply yourself. The things that I really, really enjoyed about college was also probably the worst thing for me. I was a music major at Baylor University, and I go to my first piano class, and I realize in about 5 minutes, I didn't belong in this class. Because these guys that were other music majors could play like nobody's business. They could play piano, and I'm like, did you guys go to the same school or what? She's like, okay, Mr. Ingram, it's your turn. I'm like, I can play chopsticks, but you just have to tell me which two to start with. I can play on the black keys with my knuckles. If I slow it down, it sounds kind of jazzy if I press the pedals too. I can do that. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, I can play a piano too. That's how you play, that's how I play. But I'm watching the other students as they're playing masterpieces, and I'm thinking, wow, I do not belong here. And after about 2 weeks of watching me struggle, my teacher finally set me down one-on-one, and she says, Mr. Ingram, I need to tell you something. Some people just weren't meant to play the piano. And I'm like, yeah, you know, some of these people, they weren't. You're right. You're right. She's like, I'm talking about you. Like, ooh. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. I'm not meant to play the piano. And she says, I'll make a deal with you. If you'll show it to my class, I'll give you a C. I said, done. Done. Thank you very much. I'll take my C and enjoy the rest of my time on my old school cell phone playing Snake. She thought she was doing me a favor, but actually you're hurting me because I did not apply myself for the rest of the year because I knew I had a C, right? Yeah. It seems to be a favor, but it actually hurts me in the long run because I still to this day don't know nothing but chopsticks and how to play the black keys with my knuckles. Some people weren't meant to play the piano. You know, I wonder how many of us, when God has given us his salvation, we just stop there and say, I've had enough, that's all I need. And we never actively pursue the things of God because we've already gotten the passing grade just enough. I've got my fire insurance, Lord. I don't need to seek you first. I know that where I'm going after this is heaven, that's all I need. David says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I have to, just like David, remind my soul there are benefits from studying his word. There are benefits from getting into his presence. There are benefits that come when I spend time prioritizing God first. There are wonderful benefits that happen. I just forget about them. And sometimes it's because times are bad, and sometimes it's because times are good. Things are good right now, Lord, I don't really need you. Or things are bad, Lord, right now, I just need to handle this, and then I'll get back into it later on. I have to remind myself, there are benefits here. Forget not his benefits. I forget them. I forget what it feels like. And a great reminder, you know, at the beginning of the year, lots of people start eating better and you start working out and you're like, man, this feels good when I eat right. It feels good when I work out. Then you see a piece of cheesecake, you're like, but that tastes good too. Lord, if you want me to eat the whole thing, give me no sign. That will be done. There are benefits with eating right. There are benefits with working out. There are benefits with applying yourself to things that you know are good for you. We have to remind our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions that there are benefits from prioritizing the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. And what I have to do to remind myself of the benefits of the Lord is I have to get quiet, which is not easy for an ADD person like me. I spend most of my time talking. As my wife would nod, yeah, he does. I have to quiet my soul and start thanking God for what he's already done. Start thanking him for the benefits that have proven his faithfulness to me. It's become ingrained in my life. It's become part of my personal discipline that I spend every prayer. The beginning of every prayer starts with the words, thank you. Thank you. I begin to list off all the amazing things that God has done. And it takes my broken heart, my messed up, worried heart, my anxious heart, and it does something powerful and supernatural. It makes me grateful. Grateful. Forget not all his benefits. I found this to be true, that when I seek God's heart, he fixes my broken one. He fixes my weighed down, anxious heart. Jesus says, don't worry about all those things. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's gonna worry about itself. Seek me first. Go all in with me first. We're learning constantly. Never before in the history of the world have we learned so much information so fast. You are surrounded by things that will capture your attention, that will capture your heart for a moment, that will help you dig to the bottom of the matter to research something. You'll get into the, we call it the Wikipedia vortex. You ever done that? Or the YouTube vortex where you just kind of get sucked in and the next thing you know, it's like 4 hours past. You're like, what in the world? I didn't realize I needed to know that much about the Wiggles and Beanie Babies, but now I know them all. You know? You'll investigate things that capture your attention. But it's difficult sometimes to remind ourselves to focus our thoughts back on what's important and not just what is sexy. Not just on what is flashy, not just what is right in front of us. We have to remind ourselves of the benefits. And we do that by offering God our thanks for what he's already done. Psalm 100 tells us to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. The Message version says, enter his gates with the password, which is thank you. How good is that? When was the last time that you started your prayers off with thank you? What if we started the year off not just by asking the Lord for what we want and demanding things, claiming all of his promises, but started it with thank you. And I'm still here. Thank you. I still have a job. Thank you. Ultimately, number three, I found this to be true, that my life will always drift towards my strongest thoughts. And when my strongest thoughts are worries, I'll bring my worries into existence. By focusing on them, thinking about them, giving all of my attention to my worries and to my fears, to my anxieties, my stresses, your life will always drift in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Jesus says the pagans, they run after all these things. They've thought about them, they've spoken about them, and now they're running after them. He says, but seek me first. And I'll give you those things. You don't have to run after them. You don't have to talk about them constantly. You don't have to put them in your mind constantly. Give them to me. give them to me, give them to me, give them to me first. Seek me. Let me worry about those things. Your life will drift in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Some of us, when you wake up January the 1st of 2021, you're thinking to yourself, how did I get here? How did my life get to this point? I would tell you it's because it's drifted in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And when we don't know how to retrain our mind to focus upon the things of the Lord, we're gonna constantly be in the same place or worse. I found that when I first became dog owner, I realized that number one, that God is a fan of dogs, and cats are proof that there's a devil. Yeah. We're praying for you, cat lovers. We're praying for you. You ever try to put a leash on a cat? You ever try to train a cat? Good luck. Good luck. Cats are your master. Someone told me one time, you want to see who loves you more, your wife or your dog? Lock them both in the trunk, open it up in an hour, and see which one's happy to see you. That's not in my notes. I don't know where that came from. I found with owning a dog, we have a dog, and our dog, I love her to death. She's half Jack Russell and half Chihuahua, which is like half white, half Mexican. So she just fits in our family. And so she's athletic and she's smart. And then the other side, she just has attitude and wants to bite people. I'm like, it's perfect. It fits us. But I learned very, very quickly that putting a leash on a dog and taking that dog out for the first walk, so you're gonna lead the dog or the dog's gonna lead you. Because that dog is led about by every fire hydrant, every light pole, every mailbox, every mailman, every voice, every smell. It pulls on their attention. They have a very short attention span, and everything wants to grab that dog and pull it in the direction. And if you let them off the leash when they don't understand the importance and the safety of being close to the master, hello, I'm talking to somebody, they're gonna get lost. They're gonna drift, led about by their senses. It's amazing the things that the Lord will show you when you're walking a dog. And you have that leash, and you look down at this dog that's being led by their noses, and God speaks things like, that's just what you do. You don't realize the power of this leash that keeps us safe, that helps us to walk step in step with the master. I found that at the beginning, I would have to pull that leash hard to get her to snap back to attention. I remember saying, I watched Cesar Millan, if you've ever seen The Dog Whisperer, I watched just great tips on how to train a dog. But he would jerk that leash. He's like, you gotta get their mind back into the right place. And after a while, after about 2 or 3, 4 or 5 weeks of leash training, you take that leash off and that dog's not going anywhere. I don't have to walk my dog with a leash anymore. That dog will look at you like, I'm right here. Where are you going? Keeps her eyes focused on me. And the Lord's like, that could be you. But we're busy being led about by our strongest thoughts. You know, we can change what is important to us by intentionally steering our minds towards what is right. It's just a matter of what you believe is right. If you don't believe that this word of God is the right thing, you're not gonna follow it. You're gonna give it whatever you have left over because you see, okay, it may have some benefits, but it doesn't really apply to me. Only by retraining our mind, the Lord clearly tells us in his word about the power that is happening when his word begins to dominate our thoughts. The priorities of this year can be your strongest thoughts or they can be his strongest thoughts, depending upon you seeking him first. And for some of us, this is exactly what you need to hear, because it's time for you to go all in, fully invested into this thing. Either you believe that he is who he says he is, that his word is what it says it is, that it offers the things that it says it can do, or he's a liar, or this is a waste of time. But at some point, my friend, you gotta make up your mind. If this is God's word, then let's go all in. I wanna issue you the 1 year challenge. Give me 1 year of your life, 1 year. What would your year look like in 2022 if you went all in, holding nothing back? If you said, okay, God, this is it for me. I am all in with you. If you stopped making excuses for what you don't have and the conditions that aren't perfect, and you stop putting your foot in the water and says, you know what, I'm diving in because I believe in this thing. Yeah. And you know what, maybe you've been kicking the tires around here for a while, wondering if this is your home church or not. That's okay. It's okay, we love having you here. But at some point, you're gonna have to make a decision. Right. Make a decision, but stop living life on the sidelines. Right. Talking about I put God first, but never actually walking it out and fully investigating, being fully engaged in the process of whatever it is that you say, my response is gonna be yes. I believe that your word is true. And when you said to seek first the kingdom of heaven, I'm all in with that, because you said in your word that you're gonna add these other things to me. Either you're telling the truth or you're not. But if you believe it, then make a decision. 1 year of your life to go all in. Now we talk about four things here, four things that our church is built on, four things that we're asking of every single person that walks into this place. At some point, we want you to understand that God wants you to know him. We want you to know God, not to just know about him, but to know him intimately in your heart, to pursue him, to seek him first. And if you've never taken that step, if you never asked him into your heart, you're gonna do that today. For some of us, it's time that you go deeper with him, that you get intimate with him, that you go into a place that you're like, I've never really allowed myself to go that deep with the Lord, but I'm gonna give that a shot. For some of you, you've never fasted before. It's part of the spiritual discipline, by the way. Fasting is a big part of following after the Lord. He talks about disciplining our bodies. When was the last time that you said, I'm gonna fast and pray? Starting next Sunday, we will start fasting and praying as a church. If you've never done this before, man, you wanna start this week of breaking your body down from the things that it thinks it needs. Many of us have done things like, oh, I'm gonna fast sweets for a couple days. Like, I'm gonna ask you to do a little bit more than that. It needs to be something that you know has taken the place of your first. For many of us, that's your phone. That's your social media. That's your connection. It's where you go when you're bored. It's where you go when you wanna release some anxiety. You get back into social media and look at other people's problems and you realize, hey, other people dumber than me. It's time to lay some of those things down. It's not gonna kill you. There's benefits from that. You need to really know God and set your heart to know him intimately. Stop playing games with him, but know him. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're gonna fast together. Each of those services, we're gonna put a service on each one of those nights. And on Wednesday, we're gonna have two services, one in the morning and one in the evening. We're also gonna have prophetic words given on Wednesday night. If you've never heard God's voice, if you've never heard him speak to someone else and speak out words that you know you need to hear, you need to be there on Wednesday. You need to hear that. God, please hear this. God does not have a communication problem. He still speaks. Unfortunately, we have not set our hearts to seek in him. His word tells us this, to seek the Lord and his strength, to seek his presence continually. This is the word that the Lord put upon my heart for me this year. And it let me know from the very beginning of January that my strength is not going to be enough. Seek his strength, because his strength is more than enough. Seek it continually. If you've been following with Christ for more than 5 minutes, you probably have, if someone were to ask you, what's your favorite verse of the Bible? And if you know anything about church, you're probably gonna start with John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Great scripture, great, 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 but that's for babies and beginners. But the second one people will say, once they've been around Jesus a little bit, I'll say, oh, it's Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. We love that scripture because there's plans for me. God has a purpose for my life. He has a hope for me. He has a future for me. We love that. But we don't really look at the next scripture that takes us beyond just the promise of God to the premise of what he's asking for us. What he's saying is the setup to receiving this. His word says this in verse 12. He says, you will seek me and find me when you start seeking me with all your heart. All your heart. He says, you're gonna come to me, you're gonna pray, and I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna listen to you. He says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So here's the word from the Lord that you came needing today. Here's the word that you need for your year. Here's the word, the direction that God is speaking over you and over your family. He said, seek me first. Seek me first. And guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make sure that you find me. But I want you to do it with all your heart. Go all in. What does that look like practically? My friend, if you've never been in a group, this is your year. You need to get into a group. You need to find your tribe. God's word tells us in the book of James, it says, if you confess your faults one to another, you're gonna be healed. You know, many of us have confessed our faults to Jesus, looking for forgiveness. That's a great thing, but you've never taken the second step of starting to talk about them with somebody else. I don't know if I can do that. There's healing there. What would 2022 look like if you looked back and said, I got healed in 2021? We want you to know God. We want you to find freedom that happens in groups. It happens in groups. You need to be in a group. Please hear me. Stop neglecting together the assembling of yourselves. Groups are important. As a matter of fact, if our world keeps going the way that it's going, groups are gonna be the only place that you can meet in. Don't take it for granted that we can always do this on Sunday mornings. That is not a given. But groups, they can't control that. We can do that. Even if it's online, we can still meet. You can still find your tribe, the people that are gonna take care of you, and that you're gonna be there for them as well. You need to start thinking about something other than yourself, finding freedom, getting free of your yesterdays by talking about these things with your other believers. I'm standing in the gap for you. You're standing in the gap for me. We're both crazy. It's awesome. Found people just as crazy as me, just as messed up, and we're gonna do it together. I'm gonna help you, and you're gonna help me. Some of us, you've lived your life like you're an island, thinking that nobody else is walking through what you're walking through, and you're wrong. You're wrong. God built us to be in community with each other. You cannot do life alone. You can't do it. You're not enough. We want you to, number three, to discover your purpose. You have one. It's more than just to make some more money, to buy a few more toys. It's more than just having kids, waiting around to die. That's not your purpose. I think the greatest disservice that we could give you is to tell you that you have a purpose and then never tell you how to figure that out. Let us help you do that. God wants you to understand the plans, the hope that a future that he has for you. It's not just gonna magically appear. It starts by you seeking him first and saying, I'm all in with this. I'm gonna give it a try, really, with my heart. I'm going all in. Ultimately, we want you to make a difference with your life, with whatever time that you have left. None of us are promised tomorrow. At the end of it all, will you have made a difference? That's what I want for my life. I wanna know that I didn't waste the gift that God has given me. I wanna know that I made a difference. More than just putting a few hundred people in a building in Longview, Texas, I wanna know that we impacted as many people as possible. That's what I want my legacy to be. God, I did this for you and for your glory, not for me, not for my glory. Why? I wanna make a difference. In order to make a difference, you gotta go all in. You gotta push your chips to the table and say, okay, God, I'm in this thing. You'll never really know that he's all you need until he's all you got. So if 2020 has shown us anything, it's that there is a desperate need to seek his face continually. The question is, are you man enough? Are you woman enough to take the challenge and to actually do it, to go all in? I'm in. I'm all in. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? For those of you watching online, if that's your heart, would you just type that in the chat? I'm all in. Whatever you say, I'm all in. Whatever his word tells me, I'm all in. This year is gonna be a year where I'm all in. I'm not playing games with God anymore. I'm not giving him whatever I have left over. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm fully invested into this thing. I'm gonna seek him first and allow his word to lead me to what's important. I'm not gonna be led about by what's urgent. I'm all in. All over this place, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, if there's some issues in your life that you're like, you know what, I wanna I want to go all in with the Lord. There's some things that I've been holding back, things that I was apprehensive about. I've been a little tentative. I've been scared. I've been worried. If that's you, I want you to just allow the peace of the Lord to overwhelm you right now. To hear his words saying, do not worry. Seek me first. Me. Father, over every fear, over every anxiety, over all of our worries, we choose you. And as we finish our time in your word today, Lord, we ask that this word would not just be something that we hear, but something that we apply to our lives, that we take a step, that we move beyond just talking about it, to actually being about it. We are yours. We're all in. Let the future come. Let it do whatever it's going to do. I trust you. My hope is in you and nothing else. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, perhaps you're here today or perhaps you're watching online and you've never taken that first step of being all in with God. You've never asked him to forgive you of your mistakes. You've never asked him onto the throne of your heart to be your boss and Lord and Savior. I want to help you. If you've never done that, I want to help you just like somebody helped me one time. It changed my life. It changed my life when I went all in with him. It took a broken down young man that was an addict and a fool, and it gave me my purpose. The Lord wants to do the same thing for you. So right where you are, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. You can do it out loud or in your heart. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is that you believe it. The prayer goes like this. Pray with me and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that you came and died, but you didn't stay dead. You rose to life, conquering death for people like me. You came to give me life and hope. So Lord, I give myself to you right now. I don't want to live my life my way anymore. I'm all in. I give myself to you in Jesus' name. My friend, if you just pray that prayer with me, I would love to be able to meet you, to talk to you, to understand what where you come from, what your story is. The easiest way to do that, would you text me? The word is I prayed, I-P-R-A-Y-E-D, one word put together. Text that to 94090. It always encourages me every week when someone texts and says, I prayed. I'm proud of you. Good for you.